You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Brierley, Ollie Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's a Sunday of jumping with national hunt meetings at Perth, Southwell and Stratford. We're going to look ahead to that now. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you, Mark. Yes, it's jumping all the way. There's even a jumps meeting in Ireland as well. There's Dundalk too, I think, tomorrow. That's no doubt where mine that will be. But yeah, some are jumping to the four. There must be a decent meeting in France, I'm guessing, as well, is there?
Saint-Cloud, I think, yeah. Maybe Chantilly, actually.
Chantilly, très bien. That's where quite a few of the jocks are going, I would imagine. It does seem peculiar to have three jumps meetings, or four, if you include the meeting in Ireland. Is it Wexford or Sligo? It's one of the two.
Sligo.
Yeah, so a bit odd. A bit odd in the height of summer to have that.
It is. There is Group 1 action in Chantilly.
What is it?
It's the Prix Jean Prat.
Ah, of course, it's quite a big race, and there's a decent undercard as well.
Yeah, Jim Crowley's gone over there, Oisin Murphy, James Doyle.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have a look back at some of Friday's highlights as well, because a very good Friday to look back on, and then we'll look ahead to that action on Sunday. We'll start with the big race of the afternoon on Friday. It was the Falmer Stakes, a Group 1 at Newmarket, and Amazing Maria was the winner, 17-2. She won a Group 2 last time when very unfancied on Friday as well, and David O'Meara's really found the key to this filly, hasn't he?
Yeah, as will be. I think she was a bit difficult to place last year after she had quite a good season as a two-year-old. And they ran her in the Guineas and all kinds of big races last year. Whether she was quite ready for that, I'm not sure. And they messed about with the trip a bit as well. And obviously at four, she's proved to be a bit easier to place. She hasn't had to take on, as a three-year-old, she's taking on older horses quite a lot. And obviously I don't think she was quite ready for it at that stage of her career. And this is good form because we have multiple Group 1 winners in behind. Euro Charlie and Avenir Sertan, who's a dual classic winner, of course. Bowena, Finchley, Lucida, who might not have got the greatest of rides, I think it's fair to say. It's a messy old finish, really, if truth be told, wasn't it? But take nothing away from the winner. Obviously followed up Duke of Cambridge's success, and she now heads to the Prix Rothschild now, we believe, at Deauville, which is right about a month's time, the middle of August. I think it's the big Deauville meeting, so around about the time they have the sales on. So, I should imagine that there's a few that might end there. I mean, Euro Charlene will probably go for the Beverly D Stakes, a race that she won last year. Avenir Sertan, I'm sure there's plenty of races in France. She may also go for that race that Amazing Maria ran in, and probably ditto Bowena and Finchley. Lucida, not entirely sure where she's going. She might not be the easiest horse to place again now, perhaps until next season. Wonder if we might see her out in Dubai. Obviously, she's now owned by the Boys in Blue. Might well see her there, I think. But nice to see the winning owner in good form afterwards, doing plenty of dancing in the winning's enclosure, as is his wont. So, yeah, obviously, he hasn't got many horses anymore. Robert Ogden, obviously, was primarily known as a jumps owner, really, but he's switched attentions to the flat now, and one of the older owners in the game with young tastes.
And he's got a Group 1 winning filly as well now, and the naming of the horse as well, it's quite a nice story about why she's called Amazing Maria. Have you seen that?
No.
His mother was called Maria. She had six kids, and he says she was amazing. She asked him to get a grey horse because she likes backing greys.
Very good, and
that's what happened. Let's talk about one of the other big winners at Newmarket as well. There was the Group 2 Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. Went the way of Illuminate in a three-way go with Bashara and Blue Bayo. A cracking finish to the race, Gary.
Yeah, obviously we had the Albany winner, the second, third and fourth from the Queen Mary, and it was a bit of a bunched finish. Illuminate just getting the verdict ahead of Bashara and Blue Bayo. Eastern Angel finished fifth, was placed fourth. Probably didn't get the greatest of rides from Paul Moran, if we're being completely honest. I think she's probably better than what we saw there. But, you know, that can happen in races of this nature. They didn't go very quickly, and there was one or two of them that ran a little bit green and chopping and changing and looking for runs, and Eastern Angel didn't get the clearest of runs, and she rates better than the overall form suggests. Be interesting to see where they go with the horses next. I think Luminate, we might well be seeing that one in Deauville as well for the pre-Mornay, which again comes up the same time as the pre-Rothschild. So, and they think that she'll get a little bit further in time. So you would have thought the 1,000 guineas long-term is probably the obvious race. I mean, she won the Albany. She's won this. It's a sort of gradual stepping stone. And she'll be in Group 1 company next time. As I would imagine, will be most of the others that's finished just behind her.
Let's move up to the Knavesmire as well. There was some good racing there on Friday. The Group 3 Summer Stakes was their highlight. Went the way of New Providence. Lucky Crystal looks as if she was getting there all the time in second. Give her an extra 100 yards, she might have won the race. And Kyoshi back in third. Pretty good race as well.
Yeah. I think another sort of half furlong, or maybe not even that, and Lucky Crystal probably would have won. But New Providence was ridden a bit more prominently. And obviously she ran in the Group 1 Commonwealth Cup on her most prior outing to yesterday. But again, it hasn't been the easiest horse to sort of place, because she had a pretty decent two-year-old career, got quite a lofty sort of rating, and listed in group contests have got to be the aim. She's got that Group 3 under her belt now. I think she might again be a better horse next year, but she'll go to the Oak Tree Stakes at the Goodwood Festival. And according to a trainer, there's sort of a race at Saratoga at the end of August that might well be in the offing as well, which might well not be a bad idea. Lucky Crystal, as you say, was pretty unlucky, it has to be said. Probably would have won with an extra sort of 50 yards or so. She won the Lauver back in 2013, obviously over this course and distance. And again, was another horse that was pretty difficult to place last year. They ended up running her in the guineas and trying to get her to go over distances again that I don't think she was quite ready for, and certainly didn't stay. But she's now back to back now, and obviously probably not back to her best, but it gives them a lot more options as to where they want to go with her. Now, where she will go, I've no idea. And the ground, she probably would have preferred the ground a little bit quicker as well. I know it dried out a little bit yesterday, but there was still a little bit of cut in the ground. So on the quicker side, a good would have been more ideal for her. But a trainer said before the race that she was sparkling in her work, and the way that she's ran here would indicate that she might well be capable of winning more group races before the season's out.
Anything else stand out to you on the Friday, or shall we move on?
All talk and no do, understands, going for the Ebor after he won at Ascot. Obviously, it's a competitive race, but he deserves a tilt at something like that, having won quite nicely at Ascot yesterday.
All right, let's move on to Sunday then, changing focus a little bit and looking at some jumpers. Gary's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we'll spin through these in time order, starting in the 325 at Stratford, which is the Pride of Birmingham handicap hurdle. It's for the Stratford Summer Salver. It's a race over 2 miles for three-year-olds and older. 11 of them in the lineup here. Gary, which ones have made the shortlist?
A lot of them. It's quite an open race, this. I'll go from the bottom up. El Massivo, who's won his last two, obviously won on the flat at Ayr over 13 furlongs before winning over this course and distance in the maiden hurdle. Handicap has left him off the same mark, so he has to come into consideration. Oliver's Gold was a good third and a slightly better race than this at Uttoxeter than last seen. Wasn't been too far behind one of Jalingo's stable companions, Itirad. The fact is, he's still £11 above his last winning mark, albeit Jamie Hamilton takes a very handy £7 off his back. But he just tend to reserve his best for Uttoxeter. I just wonder whether he'll be as effective here. Good of Luck was a winner at Bangor off a £12 lower mark back in May. Finished fourth at Aintree. Actually finished one place behind Purple and Gold, who'd prior to that Aintree run won at Haydock off a mark of 1-2-1, and then finished third at Aintree and then at Newton Abbott. Subsequently, he's still off a higher mark, obviously he's £5 higher Now then, his last winning mark. But the one I'm going to go for is the John Ferguson trained Jalingo, who got off the mark at Perth last time out in a maiden hurdle. And the winning margin is 3 lengths officially, but he was eased right down, was valued for a lot more than that. An opening mark of 1.28 might well underestimate him. John Ferguson has his horses in cracking form. So there are plenty of positives behind Jalingo's chance. Obviously, he makes his handicap debut, but you know he's had plenty of runs on the flat as well, so we know that he's sort of battle-hardened. And I think a mark of 1.28 might well be a bit lenient for him. So Jalingo in the 3.25.
Jalingo there for Gary then, moving to Southwell for their 3.50 next. This one is a handicap hurdle of almost 3 miles. It's a Class 4 event, field of 8 here. Gary, which one do you side with in there?
I just went with the horse down at the bottom, another one making its handicap debut, Dr. Robin. This horse finished second at Cartmel on his most recent outing. That was in a maiden hurdle. That was his first run since December. He's still open to a little bit more improvement as well, which is interesting. And he makes his handicap debut off a mark of 1.02. So he's getting plenty of weight all round here. Big Sound has been mixing fences and hurdles of late. He won at Etosta over fences when last seen. That came over this trip. Doug Costello, it was over a shorter trip, rather, I should say. Doug Costello tends to get on well with this horse. So Frank Morgan, it's been a bit disappointing over hurdles. He used to be trained by Mark Johnston, obviously, on the flat. He won a two-runner race at Exeter on his penultimate outing before finishing sixth. Pretty disappointing, actually. He made a few mistakes as well at Fontwell with last year. I think going up in trip might well help him. But whether he's well handicapped or not is another matter. I suppose he's still open to a bit more improvement, perhaps, over hurdles. And Always Archie's interesting. First run for 321 days. He's been second on 6 of his 9 starts, this horse. The last 4 of those, 2 of them coming at Fosslast and 2 of them coming at Cartmel. He's another one making his handicap debut on his first run for the Robert Stevens Yard. I think he used to be with Tim Vaughan, from memory. Be interesting to see which way he goes in the market, if truth be told. But off top weight, he's giving quite a lot of weight all round, particularly to Dr. Robin. So that just tips the scales in his favour. So Dr. Robin in the 3.50.
Dr. Robin in that one. Moving to Stratford again for their 4 o'clock. This one is the Pride of Coventry handicap chase. It's for the Stratford Summer Cup. It's a Class 2 event over 2 miles. And we've got 8 of them in the lineup here, Gary. You can't really rule too many of them out. If you look at recent form, I suppose the Worcester form looks key, where Surf and Turf beat Mr. Tenacious. Fair Dilemma was back in third. Fair Dilemma winning this race last year. And then you throw into the mix another Flutter, who's also in winning form. It's quite a tight little race.
Yeah, another Flutter, obviously winning over this course in distance back in May, beating Surf and Turf on that occasion. Surf and Turf was fourth behind him on that day. Surf and Turf obviously won the Red Rum Chase at Saintry off a low weight set back in April. He's gone up £4 after that Worcester success. Obviously, Mr. Nations was second, Fair Dilemma in third. But Fair Dilemma won this race off a £7 lower mark last year. It's a nice £4 pull in the weights for that most recent run. That was his first run since December, so you get the impression he's probably been brought along with this sort of race in mind, one would imagine. Red 70 won at Fakenhamwell last seen back in May. That was a £3 lower mark, right down there at the foot of the weights. I just wonder how much that foot of worth of that Fakenham form really is. So, with Fair Dilemma, I think, probably being primed with this race in mind. As you say, it is an open race, but Fair Dilemma, as you would imagine, this has been the target for him for quite some time. So, with a pull in the weights for that recent Worcester run behind Surf and Turf and Miss Tenacious, and also that run under his belt, I think he might be tough to beat. So, Fair Dilemma in the 4 o'clock.
Fair Dilemma in the 4 o'clock. And the final race we look at is the 4.10 at Perth. This one is the Perth Silver Cup Handicap Chase. It's over 2.5 miles. And we'll start here with Russian Regent, Gary, who was a very, very easy winner of this course and distance last time. Gordon Elliott and Richard Johnson have teamed up quite well so far this season. Do you see him as the one to beat?
Probably. He was a winner here off a £12 lower mark 10 days ago. So gone up a fair bit in the weight. So I think he probably would have won with that extra weight anyway. But just not entirely sure how good a race that was, if truth be told. Mason Hindmarsh was a good third at Hexham recently. He has claims. Likewise, Bunclody, who won here over 2 miles at the previous meeting off a mark of 95. He's off an £8 higher mark and has to prove that he stays this far. But the one that I'm going to go for right down at the bottom of the weights has been transformed, A, since the cheap pieces and Bridget Andrews went on, but also since going to Dan Skelton, and that's Thingalicht, who won in the first time cheap pieces of Worcester, off a mark of 86 back in May, then finished second at Warwick behind an improving horse, subsequently then won at Kempton off a mark of 86, and then won at Market Raisin last week off a mark of 93. Obviously, he's off 101 here for this particular contest, but he's getting 2 stone off Russian Regent. Russian Regent giving a lot of weight away. I mean, Thingalicht won 0-110 last time out. Russian Regent won a 0-120. Okay, they carried almost identical weights, but Thingalicht has got 2 stone less to carry. And I think that might well just about be enough to see him victorious over Gordon Elliott's charge. So Thingalicht in the 4-10 at Perth.
Thingalicht for Gary then in the Perth Silver Cup. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, in the 3.25 race at Stratford Jalingo, in the 3.50 race at Southall Dr. Robin, in the 4 o'clock at Stratford, victory for Fair Dilemma, and in the 4.10 at Perth, Thingalicht.
Good stuff, Gary. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Will do.
So there you go. Thoughts of Gary Capewell on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. It'll be Ross Briley, Ollie Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We'll have the meetings from Perth, Southall and Stratford on the show. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.